Thank you. That was a special treat. Let us pray. Inspire us today, O God, in our efforts to comprehend the poetic testimony of our scriptures. May they reveal the light, life, and the word of God this day and all days. Amen. So here we are, the third Sunday of Lent. And Lent, for me anyway, oddly enough, is my favorite season. Now, I understand that the Reverend Maggie has started you on a path of deep Lenten reflection, which is one of the reasons I love Lent. And it's entitled Christianity 101. A pathway through the foundational principles of Christianity. And last Sunday, I did listen to the podcast. It was really helpful. She warned us to be very careful of the rules of Christianity. So many of the rules have been dreamed up and drummed up by various versions of Christianity that it's kind of hard to get things straight sometimes. Now, of course, she was not warning us against, say, the Golden Rule, which, of course, began a long time before Christianity, nor did she caution us against the Ten Commandments. Those are our common fundamentals. We don't even think of them as rules, per se. They are our religious superstructure, which also forms the basis of much of Western societal law. Now, as well, Maggie was not, of course, counseling us against Jesus' very profound stricture to love our neighbors as ourselves, nor did she want us to stay away from the greatest rule of all, or even, it's a commandment, actually, from the Jewish Shema, whereby we are all to love the Lord our God with all our heart and our soul and with all our might. Now, what Maggie was cautioning us against, though, were some of our human-made rules that are often self-serving and often not terribly faithful to the gospel. It sort of reminds me of the story of the little girl who was taking her Bible study at Sunday school very seriously. She, like many of us who actually participate in adult Bible study, she was confronted with some of the bloodthirsty and savage aspects of the Hebrew scriptures. And she became very defensive of how God was being made to look. So she stood up and she announced, "This all happened in the Bible before God became a Christian." And so now for part two today of Christianity 101, we're to look at the name, the title of the one that we follow, the one known as the Christ, which stands for God's Anointed One. And the Anointed One, the Christ, is also known as Logos or Logos. For you that know Greek better than I do, I always say Logos. But the Greek word Logos, or reasoning, or logic, is embodied in the human flesh, which we know as Christ. Now, the Gospel of John that we just heard from our wonderful choir member that leapt into the breach today and read so beautifully, began with God's Logos, God's Word, God's reasoning logic arriving in human form. And yet, most of us think of Christ's arrival among us. Christ arrived in a manger, didn't he? surrounded by singing angels and adoring shepherds and wise ones arriving on camels. But John, the Gospel of John, does not begin it that way, and why not? Well, it seems to me that John, the Gospel writer, is much more interested in our birth story rather than the legends of Jesus' birth. John's point is that we are all the children of God. So the day that we celebrated a few months ago, back when it was really winter, in December, was not, to John, Jesus' birthday. It was our birthday. It was the day that we were born in Christ. And John's gospel says that from the beginning, God was like Christ, has always been. But somehow we just never figured it out until Jesus showed up. And we can't always relate to that concept, but somehow, to me, this Christ-like humanity was profoundly demonstrated to a woman back on September 11th. It was 9/11, 2001? 2001, thank you. Anyway, this woman was fleeing for her life down the stairs from the catastrophic inferno that was the World Trade Center. Sweating and heart pounding as one of the lucky ones able to escape, she was just departing the stairwell when she saw the chilling sight of grim-faced firemen rushing up the stairs. Up the stairs. And one of the firemen turned and looked directly at her. And in that brief flash, to her, his face transformed into the face of Christ. It was the most arresting and profound experience of her life, beyond the horror story, beyond her narrow, miraculous escape. Over and over again, this woman sees the image of Christ in her dreams and in her prayers. That is the embodied Christ. So let us acknowledge that we are God's own children. Let us recognize that our scriptures show that we hold infinite, timeless worth in God's eyes. And let us remind ourselves that we each deserve love and respect as a human being. We need to hark the glad sound that tells us that even though we do try to be good, we often forget that we both personify and are the vessel for God's caring of God's beloved world. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, O God, for opening to us the enlightened understanding of you. And we express our gratitude in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. And let us continue our contemplation of the Christ Jesus.